We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the second chapter, the fourth Mishnah. We had learned the first part of the Mishnah twice. And now we're up to the second part of the Mishnah. Hillel Omer. Hillel says, Al tifrosh min hatzibur. Don't break away from what everyone's doing. Val tamin batzmecha. Don't have confidence in yourself ad yom otcha, till the day you die. You never know where you'll end up. We'd like to think we're on steady footing. We're going to be orthodox for the rest of our life, etc. Don't be so confident till the day you die. You guys know my story about the date with Matt, right?
What?
He knows the story. There was a girl who asked me, where are you going to be in 20 years? And I said, I hope I'll be orthodox. And she said, bye-bye.
What would you call it? Gadol, 50-something years of sex. You never know. He can slip anywhere.
Who knows? That's the Mishnah. Al tamin batzmecha ad yom otcha. Okay? It was 13 years ago, so I'm still doing good. Don't judge your friend till you're in his place. Okay, that's needs explanation. We'll see how Rabbeinu Yonah learns that. Don't say something that shouldn't be heard, because ultimately it will be heard. Don't say, when I have time I'll learn, because maybe you won't have time. So that those are so many pieces of advice that Hillel gave us. So let's learn one by one. Hillel Omer, Hillel says, Al tifrosh min hatzibur. Don't separate yourself from the congregation. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah. B'sha'a sh'hatzibur oskin b'torah u'v'mitzvot. When the congregation is doing Torah and mitzvot. So you'll see this on Yom Kippur. There's a break. There are people who are sitting and learning. Shabbos afternoon, there are people who have a shir. There are times when there's the congregation's learning, or everyone's getting together to do a mitzvah. Everyone's going out to protest, to get Pollard free. There are things which everyone's doing together. So then a person shouldn't separate himself. Very often we have excuses why it doesn't work for me. No, the idea that everyone's doing something is important, and a person shouldn't break away from that. This is the crowning of Hashem. This is the honor of Hashem's rulership. When everyone unites to honor Him. When you have an amassing of people, that's more glory for Hashem. So it's not right for a person to separate from everyone else. The verse says, Israel has a king, and the part of the reflection of that is when the people unite and recognize Hashem as their king, either in learning Torah or in doing mitzvos. When do we say, don't separate yourself from everyone else? When everyone's doing the right thing. But what happens when everyone's getting together to do the wrong thing, to do something bad? They're doing things that are destructive. Then you shouldn't connect with them. On the contrary, it's more praiseworthy to separate from them. And that's what Jeremiah the prophet said. I wish I could be in the desert where only visitors come, where you don't have anyone who's living there. I'll be all alone. I wish I could leave my nation. I'd leave them. Because they're all a bunch of adulterers and traitors. I want to have nothing to do with them. And then Maimonides quotes this pasuk as well, that when one feels that the people around him are sinners and they're going down paths which are wrong, so then he really has to pull away. And this is one of the hardest things to do. All his friends are going to the bar Friday night. Where is he? You guys know better than I what the crowd is interested in. This is one of the hard things. That's why it's important to choose a good crowd. So no.
I say English
lesson. Yeah. Have a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Over there. So the first thing Hillel told us is, if everyone's doing mitzvos, try to be a part of everyone. And I would add to that, try to find a crowd that's a positive crowd. You're choosing a college, you have to choose a college where there's a good Jewish crowd. That's a big factor. Not only because you need good Jewish girls there, which is important, but also because you need a good crowd. You need both. So Hillel says, don't separate from the crowd. Rabbeinu Yonah adds, that's assuming the crowd is doing what's right. So that's first tip Hillel gives us. Let me add something to what Rabbeinu Yonah says. There's another line Hillel tells us in Talmud which is very important, especially for a person who's chozer b'tshuva. Hillel says, "Al tera'e omed, al tera'e yoshev." Don't be seen standing, don't be seen sitting. Oh, what am I supposed to do? So, keep moving, right? Okay, right? What Hillel meant is, don't be seen. That means don't stand out. Everyone else is standing, you stand. Everyone else is sitting, you sit. Where do you find this in shul? Sometimes you come to shul, they have all kinds of interesting minhagim. There's Kaddish, and you shoot up. You're regular Ashkenazi. You're used to standing for Kaddish, but this shul sits for Kaddish. Well, don't stand out. Excuse the pun. Al tera'e omed. Don't be seen standing. Hillel was saying, if everyone else is sitting, you shouldn't be seen standing. If everyone else is standing, you shouldn't be seen sitting. It's an important idea to blend in with the crowd. One of the things that often happens when a person does tshuva is that they're always looking for perfection. That's how they got here in the first place. They're trying to better themselves. But that could misguide a person where he tries to be better than everyone else. No one else knows what they're doing. I got it right. That's a common misconception. And a person feels like, hey, I know, I learned this. Okay, you learned this, but you didn't learn other things. There's a famous story of Rav. He came to Babylon. They brought him in to be a rabbi. So his uncle was Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's contemporary. So Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi were the final generation of Tanoim, of Mishnah. And when Rav was going out to Babylon, so Rabbi Chiya said to Rabbi, give him smicha. He's learning Torah. He's got to go out there to be a rabbi. Give him smicha. Great. So he goes out to Babylon, and it's Rosh Chodesh. And at that time in Israel, they wouldn't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So he comes out to Babylon, and his job is to be the rabbi there. So Rosh Chodesh comes around. He finishes Shmona Esrei. He's ready for the Torah reading. And they start saying Hallel. Now, you'd think he's the rabbi. He'll bang on the table and say, guys, what you doing? No, it's not what he does. He's quiet. Now, when they would read Hallel, they would read it verse by verse. Every verse would be said, and then the whole congregation would say, Hallelujah. And then they'd read the next verse, and everyone would say, Hallelujah. So Rav is standing there thinking, hey, what are these guys doing? So they read verse 1, and 2, and 3, and 10, and 15. And it's only when they reach the third paragraph that we skip on Rosh Chodesh that he sees that they skip it. He says, where'd they get that from, skipping a whole paragraph? When do we ever read Hallel and skip a paragraph? He says, must be this is a custom. This isn't halacha. This must be the Babylonian custom. Okay, now I got it. See, he's the rabbi. His job is to tell them what's right and wrong. And nonetheless, when he sees them doing something that he thinks is wrong, he's quiet. He listens. He waits. He's thinking. He's not quick to say anything. Even though it's his job to tell them, hey guys, no, this isn't what we do. He waits. We find this also with the Rosh. Rabbeinu Asher, the disciple of the Maharam of Rutenberg. After the prince of Rutenberg decided to put the Maharam in jail to ask the Jewish people for ransom, and the Maharam sent word to the Jewish people, don't you dare pay him, because if you pay him the ransom, then he'll always be taken and chosen to captivity to take a ransom. And then the Maharam died in prison, and they never redeemed him. The rabbi said, don't pay, leave me here, but don't pay. So the Rosh knew he was next in line, right? They just, you know, if they didn't pay ransom for the first rabbi, they'll take the second rabbi. So the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, packed his bags and ran. He ran to Spain, and he became the rabbi a little bit after the Ramban, after Nachmanides. So he comes to Spain, and he is one of those rare examples of an Ashkenazi rabbi who came to a Sephardi community, and he saw all kinds of weird customs. So a lot of his discussions are, what do we do with this custom? Where did the Sephardim come off doing this? Okay, but he didn't come and say, hey guys, you're wrong. Even though he knew the halacha, and he was the chief rabbi of Germany. So what? You come to a new place, you come to you see something interesting, wait and see. So I'm just saying that when Hillel says, don't separate yourself from the congregation, we have another line by Hillel, which says, don't stand out. You're in a crowd. This is what they do. You're in a shul. Wait and see. Obviously, an Orthodox shul, right? Val tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom motcha. Don't believe in yourself till the day you die. Hu nidrash ben lechasidut ben leemunah. Rabbi Yonah says, be it with regard to piety, be it with regard to your faith. We like to think we'll always only grow from here. Who knows? And we like to think we'll always remain faithful. Who knows? Shafalpi she nitkena lecha ruach emuna v'nechona. Even though a person thinks, I have my philosophy clear, and everything's settled, and I know what I believe and I don't believe, so why should I ever change my mind? Lo tiyeh tzadik beinecha. Don't be so pious in your own eyes. V'lo tomar kama yamim lo pa'alti aven. Hechachti titzri. A person will say, you know how long it's been since the last time I sinned? I've really gotten control of my desires. V'ani achol alav. I've outsmarted my yetzer hara. I'm the winner here. V'notzeach oto. I can already claim victory. K'var nishbar. Look at that. I've broken him. V'anachnu nimlatnu. And I've escaped. V'lo yechol atutim nadech ha'ishra. He ain't getting me again. I'm sticking on the straight and narrow. V'oyev orev alecha. Warns you the Mishnah. He's waiting an ambush. He's a constant enemy. There are times when you're working, you're not learning, you're not thinking about God. Don't worry, he'll find ways to dance before you. And he tries to convince you daily to try and dissuade you. He tries to convince you to go down paths that no good person went on and no one's settled them. You never know when he'll succeed. You never know. There's a famous story of the Netziv, Rav Kook's Rebbe, the final chief rabbi of Elazhin. He was once learning alone, and the Mashgiach of the yeshiva came to him and said, who's your Chavrusa? So he said, the Yetzer Hara. So he said, why learning with a guy like that? He said, two reasons. Number one, I never have to wait for him. Anytime I come to learn, he's ready. So that's number one. Number two, he's much smarter than me. So he's the best chavrusa. So that's something to bear in mind. He's smarter than us, and he's always there. Lachen yisham alcha ushmon nafshcha meod. That's why a person has to be careful. Upachadu me'alecha al tirchak v'asita b'chochmatcha yimishchecha mata. Be careful. A person shouldn't be overconfident. You never know where when you'll be dissuaded or when you'll start having doubts. A person has to think about what he's doing if he wants to keep the Yetzer Hara away. About this, number one is the first idea. Don't have confidence in yourself till the day you die. You never know when. One never knows when one falls. Gam li'inyan ha'emuna ne'emar ha'davar hazeh leval tilmad min ha'minin. This is also said with regard to apostates. Sometimes a person is very tempted, I'll go to class in philosophy. Okay? You'll say, they'll teach me logic. Maybe. They'll teach me psychology. Maybe. But what else will they try to teach you? There's a very common theme in much of philosophy and psychology, which is antithetical to Jewish thought or Jewish approach. One of the horrible concepts that they promote is this idea that things are predetermined. If I have no free will and it's predetermined based on my genes and the chemical components of my mind, so that takes away all responsibility. He will be a psychopath. He won't be a psychopath. That's all predetermined. Now, that's terrible.
But there is legitimacy in that.
Not at all. Only it's harder for some than others.
Well, we don't view it that way in halacha. We say you might be predisposed, but doesn't mean it's predetermined.
Didn't we talk about that with Mars, using whatever you're saying is for the best possible.
Meaning a person, that's what the Talmud says. If you have a tendency to spill blood, be a butcher. Be a doctor.
Be a
moil. Be a moil. Right? There are other things to do with tendencies. A person can conquer them or a person can direct them. A person doesn't have to follow through one way.
Even in their old world, they're conflicted about that. That is one school of thought, but obviously,
that's just an example. He's right. Saying sometimes you look at someone or you look at some approach and you say there are good things in it. And we say no. You start delving into it. You're going to touch a lot of things that are wrong, which can affect a person. So a person shouldn't be so confident. Yeah, I'm okay. They're not going to confuse me. I've seen many who said that, and they didn't come back.
But once you're grounded thoroughly, I would guess. Like if you took a read philosophy, psychology, I mean, of course there's a chance, but you may think you have better things to do with your time. But if you were somewhere and this year was going and, one of those things, do you really feel that it would be that dangerous? I mean,
it's a broad discussion. Yeah.
What about someone who's pre-exposed to something more extreme, like drugs or abuse?
And therefore what?
And therefore, how can you hold them accountable for trying crack?
He's brought up in a crack house.
Not just brought up in a crack house, but, someone who grew up in, in like Compton or something in the 1980s.
So let's go one step at a time. Our topic in the Mishnah is don't be overly confident in yourself. Don't expose yourselves to things that can bring you down, because you never know when something will grab a person's attention, a person's thought, a person's attitudes. And to that, I gave different examples, like studying psychology, philosophy, where I've seen many good students. We have alumni from here, and even guys who grew up with me who were from birth, who today don't keep Shabbos. They ended up with more questions than answers, and they ended up more confused than with clarity, and now their whole life's a mess. So Hillel warns you, don't be so confident you have everything clear. Work on knowing what's right. Don't work on touching things that are dangerous and can confuse you. And then you say, I'll manage. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. And this goes back to our class from 3 months ago, that very often you encounter a question, and at that moment you don't have the answer. And it's very hard to be mature enough to say, well, with time, maybe I'll get the answer. Most often people, especially in the teenage years when they're searching, people say, hey, if no one can answer me, so it's all a lie. Who said? How much research have you invested? This is a wisdom of a few thousand years. You think you got it in a day, in a week, in a month, or a year. It takes time to understand. These are very deep thoughts. The whole philosophy of Judaism is deep. And a person thinks he can get it in a short amount of time. No, it doesn't work that way. So questions abound. And some of them we can answer partially, and some of them we can answer completely. And even those that we can answer completely, very often will take a long time till you can understand the answer. You wouldn't walk into quantum physics and say, okay, explain to me how the atom works. I want to know all the forces and powers, and now I want to understand. What do you know? How could I explain it to you? Just because I have an answer doesn't mean you can understand it. You need a lot of background to understand it. So the same is true in Judaism. Many of the deeper answers require a lot of learning before you can understand it. But you can ask the question. Any dunce can ask the question. But that doesn't mean a person will have that inner fortitude to withstand that temptation when he has a question without an answer. And he has a professor standing opposite him and explaining to him why only he knows what's right. That doesn't mean he'll stand up to that temptation. That's what we were studying here. Now you're bringing up a different question. Are there instances, I gave as an example, one of the issues we have with psychology is the predeterminism, that attitude. That was just an example. You're saying there are times when a person has a background which is a hindrance, which is a handicap. That's true. I say he has to outgrow that.
But not everybody from that background ends up a drug addict, so it's possible. But it's harder, obviously, but it's possible.
You have to have responsibility. This is a tangent, but think about the alternative. If you don't give human beings the responsibility to outgrow their background, I'll tell you a line my father would tell us as kids, which I think is an important line every person has to know. We are all our parents' survivors. Meaning everyone can look back at their home and say, you know what I had to contend with? Now that's not a good excuse to be a horrible parent.
Just hope you make different mistakes.
Yes.
But I think there's two things that factor when we talk about people from different backgrounds, and that's the personal level, which is Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov, and then the law level, which for Judaism is halakha, and for the secular people is regular law. So each person has their own good inclination and evil inclination is weighed to their own effects, but as a community, maybe that person wasn't predetermined to get to a certain level, or maybe he has the capacity to get past a certain level, but he's held accountable to the laws of that community. So I think that's, to me, when you look at somebody who grows up with a lot less resources